Blog Talk Radio.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Hello?
Hey, what's happening?
All right. Go right ahead, man.
Hey, everybody. This is Mac. This is the No Chaser Show with Mac Williams, with my man Jerry, my co-host. We are here on a Friday evening. I am again broadcasting from the Goodman, where we are having the Red Bull King of the Rock tournament down here. Whoever wins the whole thing will end up going to... Alcatraz to play for the, this year I think it's $20,000. So I'm down here and they're about to have a game after this, which is going to be Watts versus the Goodman League, which is going to be entertaining. And we had the same game last week, but it just got rained out in the third quarter, so we're going to finish it. We're actually going to start it over today and play that also. So, Jerry, how you been?
Oh, not bad, my man. Not bad. Another week down the drain.
Yep, that's right. As the Goodman winds down, it's now the final four teams, and they will play on Sunday. And then after that, it will be the championship, which is going to be one game, winner take all. This year, usually it's best of three. This year with Miles having surgery, rotator cuff surgery, he has opted to say, you know, since it's a day before his operation, he's like, I'm going to have one game and that's it. Whoever wins it, get a chance.
Wow, so, what happened there?
I have no idea. Just, I guess his rotator cuff got bad over. It's been like that all summer. I know he's been complaining about it all summer, but he tried to schedule it after the Goodman was over, as opposed to missing games and all that kind of stuff. You don't really want to miss games, so he tried to push it to where he could have it, at the end of the season. So, with that being said, my focus now after the Goodman is going to be more going on towards sports, and I'll still be in politics. Actually, this week I kind of retired from the whole politics thing, trying to explain things to people. Only thing I think I debated with Jerry, with you, and Vic, and some of the other guys, but I can't do it with anybody else anymore. I mean, some of these people say the most ignorant stuff on Facebook, and they debate about the dumbest stuff, and I just be to the point where I just be like, man, forget it. I'm done.
You sound like you're doing what Lance Armstrong's doing. Throw up your hands and say, I give up. I give up.
Well, I give up. I don't give up the debate from if somebody wants to listen, but if I tell you something and I show you facts, but you choose to believe the hype and believe the things that are not true, and it's not based on facts, I'm wasting my breath. I'm wasting my time. You know, it's like you sitting there telling me it's going to rain today. The clouds, you know, get together, the lightning come, and you show me the radar, and I still tell you, nah, it ain't going to rain. Well, I mean, Jerry, how long are you going to keep telling me it's going to rain? After some point, you're going to say, you know what, you'll find out when the drop hits.
Exactly.
Right, that's my point. So that's where I am. Not that I'm not giving up on politics. I mean, if somebody wants to hear it, or if I'm here on the radio, or you know, good old-fashioned debate with guys who are willing to give and take and listen, even if we don't agree, I'm good with that. But a lot of these guys, man, they saying some crazy stuff, and I just be like, man, never mind. Just go ahead.
Okay.
So anyway,
let me take care of some administrative stuff first. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. It's 347-637-3220. And also, let me slip this in real quick.
No problem.
Just like yesterday on the FSP Cruise Show, we had a trivia contest that we're running for tickets to an Oakland and Detroit preseason football game, which is going to
take
place.
Go Lions.
Huh? Go Lions. I hear you. I know you're a Lions fan. I know that.
Put in the Raiders.
So it's going to take place in Oakland. So you got to be out there or be able to get out there. And in order to get the ticket, you're going to meet Vic in front of the stadium to pick the ticket up. But in order to get the ticket, you got to answer the trivia question. And the trivia question was yesterday, and I'm going to repeat it today to give somebody the opportunity to have them look it up overnight for those that are listening. And if no one answers it and no one calls in to try to answer it, the question, it's going to be carried over into tomorrow, which is the day of the game, but we're going to carry it over tomorrow, try to get rid of some of these tickets. I think we got about 5 tickets.
Wow.
Quite naturally, the trivia question is not going to be all 4 or 5 tickets, but you'll get an opportunity to be a face in the place, Oakland versus the Lions in Oakland. And the trivia question is this. And Matt,
how many jobs has Obama created?
Excuse me?
No, never mind.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry,
yeah, you had to slip that in there real quick. That's okay.
I was going to say I knew the answer to that one. Zero.
Okay.
Anyway,
Here we go. In the combined 2009 through 2011 regular seasons, which team had the most rushing attempts in one game? I'll say that again. In the combined 2009 through 2011 regular seasons, which team had the most rushing attempts in one game? I'll give you 4 choices. You got to call me up and tell me. You don't have to tell me how many rush attempts they had. You just have to tell me the team. I'll give you the Chicago Bears, the Oakland Raiders, the Kansas City Chiefs, and the New York Jets. It's a multiple choice. It's one of the 4. You call in, and you get the right answer, and you get the opportunity to meet Vic and get a ticket to get to watch this preseason game in Oakland. It's in Oakland. So you got to be in Oakland or out there somewhere or close to there to get to the stadium. Okay, Mac, go ahead.
No, I just said as the months push on here, we get into the fall. This is the best time because now I'm going to be getting into focus of the sports, you know, the winter sports and what's going on and what have you. This week I wanted to tackle and to talk over some of the issues, and hopefully some people will be listening and call in about, you know, the top sports stories of this week, which I think one of them I want to talk about is with you, Jerry, is Deshaun Jackson coming out this week. saying that, you know, last year he didn't try hard. I, to be honest with you, I was absolutely shocked. And to be honest with you, I still am shocked. I can't believe he admitted it. I give him credit for it. I give him kudos for it. But I think the thing that shocked me the most is how Deshaun Jackson has gotten a pass on this. Like, nobody's really made a big deal out of this. But these are the same people who criticized Randy Moss when he said he takes plays off. You know, they about crucified that dude, man. I mean, they were
right
on him about that. And to
right
hear a guy literally say, because I didn't have my money, I didn't really go hard last year, I'm just like, wow. You know, that shows a lot of youth, a lot of immaturity to say something like that, for one. I would have never said that, even if it was true. But then again, I know me. I probably would have ended up, because I wouldn't want to look at myself in the mirror and not be honest. But I'm just saying, like I said, the generations of, I mean, this generation, man, this generation of athletes is just funny people, man. I mean, it's like, how do you not try hard? It wasn't like you weren't getting paid. It wasn't like you weren't getting a good salary. And now you're sitting here admitting that you basically didn't go hard all year. You know, and here's the crazy part. He had a pretty good doggone year last year.
Yeah.
What would happen if he had tried hard?
Exactly.
So, Philly might have been in a different position.
You know, when I heard that, I was probably like you, probably even more, because I'm a little older. So I'm 58 years old, and
right,
and there's no way that if he was back when I first started watching football, and he wasn't going full boat, even though if he wanted to get paid and his contract was up and he wanted to get paid, that the dudes in that locker room would allow him to even do that. They take care of him in an instant, all up in his face. But the problem is this, and I know I'm going to piss some people off here by saying this, but in my opinion, the problem is this, that I see, and in my opinion, and I've heard this before, and every now and again it raises its head, that guys, and maybe I'm throwing a blanket statement out here, but guys from the left coast seem to be a little softer and I hate to say it like this, but I don't know how to say it other than straight, just like this show is, a little punkish when they don't get their way. And this is so typical when it was taking place, because he's from California, and I'll say it, he's from California. It's an unspoken thing that guys from out there, not all of them, I'm not saying all of them, but they have to have a tendency to be a little Hollywood and a little softer in where it counts, you know. So it didn't surprise me, but I'm surprised it wasn't addressed in the locker room. I know these guys respect the guys that they have to get paid, because besides playing the sport, it's a business. But you're supposed to take care of your business when you're on the field, because you have a responsibility to yourself as a man and a responsibility as a teammate. Exactly. And to actually come out and say that shows no respect, no regard for his teammates or anyone else, because he figures he's above that. So if he came out like that, somebody on the team, I don't care who it was, should have come up in his face and got all up in his grill about that. Because that shows that he don't care about anybody but DeSean Jackson. So,
right. I mean, because this quote was, I let it get to me. Even though I tried not to let it, I was trying to protect myself from getting hurt. Now I'm just giving it all.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, for me, I mean, my thing is, if you don't want to get hurt, now you can tell me something, but I mean, it was always, which is kind of a universally accepted, you hold out.
Right.
I mean, if you're afraid of getting hurt, then you hold out. You stay home from camp. You say, hey, look, I'm not coming in. We're going to renegotiate this, or I'm not coming to the team. You know, I'm not going to report. But you don't go out there in a whole season and just dog it because you're afraid of getting hurt.
Right.
If that's the case, you might as well stay home.
Exactly.
I would have never put myself in a position where I had to admit to somebody that I didn't give full effort because I was afraid of getting hurt. And I just think, I don't even think it's, I mean, I respect your opinion as far as, you know, you're saying, well, you know, maybe it's, you know, maybe it's guys from here, guys from, you know, from California. For me, I just see it in this generation as a whole. You know, and the generation I see as a whole is they just don't give the effort. I mean, me, I would be afraid. I would be ashamed to do that. And like older guys would have grabbed you up and would have let you know, like, hey, look, don't ever do that again. You know, or would have punished you or anything like that or what have you. Now, in this day and age, you can't do that. But I don't know, but I mean, you know, I don't understand. But I guess what I'm more surprised at is how the media has let DeSean Jackson get away with that.
Because yeah, I'm amazed too.
Because the same media just about all but killed Randy Moss about his work effort, taking plays off. I mean, you had Chris Carter on Randy Moss.
Right.
And it's like, I mean, and now it's like, you mean a guy can actually sit and admit I didn't go hard, and you go like, and the media just went like, oh, all right. You know, I mean, they reported it. I'm pretty sure I was pretty much set that it was debated on First Take or whatever. There was some things said. But, I mean, you talking about with Randy Moss, that thing went on for a whole season or more, you know, with his immaturity and the things he was saying. And I was just shocked and surprised. And like I said, God bless DeSean Jackson for getting his money. But for me, I'm going to tell you, I personally think that, you know, Philadelphia ain't going to forget this. And, you know, he may pay a price down the line for it. That's all I know. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Yeah. Well, we got two callers waiting for us. And I think I know who both of them. Oh, I think I know who both of them in. First, I'll bring in the one that's been hanging on the longest. Caller from the 202. I think it's Black. Talk to me, Black.
What's going on, fellas? What's
all right,
up,
all right.
Hey, Mac, you know, you from Detroit. I'm from D.C., man. If we ever pulled a stunt like that, man, people would be in our grills talking about we know you can play better. I have to agree with you with the situation with this young generation, man. I don't know what they're doing or what they're thinking, man, but that would never go down back in the day.
I know we're living in a very selfish society, a very me society, as opposed to when I was coming up. I'm pretty sure when Jerry was coming up, it was
right,
more, you were taught from as a kid in Pee Wee, when you first picked up the ball, the first thing your father or your coach or your mentor or whoever somebody told you was, it was about the team. That was the first thing pretty much across the board that you got. You were with your team. You played for your team. You played for your teammate. You were taught that from a peewee. It was never, but now in this society, everybody, every parent, and I think it starts from there too at home too, because parents start with the whole, how should I say it? They start with the whole, every parent now, and this even goes, to be honest with you guys, this even goes to my problem with AAU and with basketball and with kids sports anyway. These parents are getting into fights and everything else and doing it. And I think what it is the generation has changed, is that everybody is, and first of all, parents are not teaching their kids this because every parent wants their kid to be the next LeBron James. They want them to be the next Michael Jordan, the next whatever, so they can make money and so their kid can be great and famous and all that other stuff. And I think what happens is they grow up in a culture of get yours and, you know, get it now. And to be damned with the team and everybody else, you go get yours. So this is about you. And they're petted and they're vetted and they're told they're great and they're special and you're just the greatest thing since sliced bread. Even when they're not, they're lied to and told that until they get exposed. And then when they get exposed, your parents get mad at the coach or get mad at other people because they say it's your fault. You know, so I'm just saying this whole culture is really breeding this. The culture is being breeded like this.
Well,
so,
and it's one thing before I bring in the other 202 caller. And there's another thing that I just thought about. There's a lot more single parent households right now, and mm-hmm. I think that's contributing also to that. Not to say that all single parents are guilty of this, but I think if there's a two-parent household, has a tendency to be more disciplined, and they stay more on top of their a child, whether it be male or female, than it is with a single parent, regardless if it's a male parent or a female parent. So,
but you know what, Jerry, I have to disagree with you only because of my experience growing up in Detroit. I mean, when we grew up in the 70s, you know, late 60s, early 70s, man, there were a lot of single parent households.
Oh, I understand.
But we were disciplined. I mean, man, but we were disciplined kids, man. You just didn't. I mean, you knew certain things, but you didn't think, like, you didn't come home and let an adult have to tell on you. You didn't have a coach or a teacher disrespect. You come back and tell them that. You know,
right.
I think now I would say what the single fam. Now I agree with you about these days.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yes.
That's what I'm talking about.
You were talking about single parent homes, period. I was saying
I'm talking about present day. Present day.
Oh, present day. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because you know what? But you know what's funny though? This is just to bring this is real quick point. I have the funniest thing. I have noticed that parents who have gotten their behinds whooped like we was and disciplined like we are, and saw how they turned out great, never went to jail, were pretty much successful, good citizens, what have you. It's funny though to hear them talk now, and it's like they don't want to touch their kids.
Right.
And I'll be like, you used to get your head kicked in. Like, you used to get your butt whooped and you got disciplined. How can you see the fruit of the labor of your mama and say, and talk about, I was disciplined and I'm glad my mother disciplined me, but then in the same breath, you know, your son or your daughter is a freaking terror and you won't touch him. And you don't believe they're thinking all of a sudden. I'm like, how does that work? I still haven't gotten over that one. That's a mystery to me.
Well, we have another caller from the 202,
right.
And I know who
this happens to be
Mr. FSP, Mr. Vic Gardner. You need to weigh in on this conversation that we have, Vic.
Well, I'll do it like this, and I don't know if you guys know about it, but I've been posting all day on my Facebook page. John Jones of the UFC has backed out of a fight. He's the champion now. He backed out of a fight that's supposed to happen in a couple of days because his opponent had a torn knee, and then the person that Dana White wanted to put him up against is a beast, but had two losses versus Anderson Silva. And I'm talking about Chael Sonnen. And John Jones said to Dana, I'm not going to fight him on 8 days' notice. Now, that's a sign of respect to Chael Sonnen, but the MMA community is really upset with John Jones saying he's not a true champion because a true champion takes on all comers at any time. And the other side of it is a lot of folks lost money because the venue had already been paid for. The undercard folks won't be able to make money and stuff like that.
Right.
So they're mad at him for that. But transitioning to Deshaun Jackson, John Jones is a champion. He knows he doesn't want to go in there against somebody he's not prepared for and totally get either embarrassed and lose his title or just not look good at all. Deshaun Jackson.
I don't blame him for that, just to tell you, Vic. I don't blame him.
Because in MMA,
each opponent is totally different. They have different moves, different, you know. I agree with that, what he did. Even though I know it wasn't popular, I do agree.
I agree too, but my point was that, you know, Deshaun Jackson says this is preseason or this isn't for real. I'm not going to give my all, end up tweaking a hamstring or something like that, put me out for the whole season. Now, he's not trying to make the team. He's on the team. But it only takes, one person not giving their all or not committing to be the champion to ruin it for everybody else. Somebody else might get hurt. Somebody else might lose out on a big paycheck because you didn't decide to show up. So that's the correlation I had there. I mean, I think Deshaun Jackson, I saw him when he was at the All-American Bowl as a high school kid, leaping from the 10-yard line into the end zone and fumbling the ball and all that stuff.
Right.
And then he did the same crap at the University of Cal. He did the same crap when he joined the NFL. So you know what you're getting with Deshaun Jackson. You know that he's about him.
Right.
And,
exactly.
You know, if he gets a title, I mean, if he gets a ring, he gets a ring, but he wants to be paid. He wants to be the center of attention. So, therefore, I'm not going to put myself in a situation where I'm not going to be able to perform all year long and be the center of attention. And, again, I agree with you guys. It is a generational thing because when we grew up, our mother, our next-door neighbor, and even our cousins or whoever, they would give us a spanking and then tell our parents, and then our parents, mother or father, whatever, grandma, definitely grandma, we're getting that butt.
Right.
But you don't have that nowadays because grandma's 25, grandma's 36, and grandma still don't know what it is.
I hear you. You are so right about that. It's it's disgusting. I should say disgusting, but I'm going to say disgusting because the fact is, having a traditional grandmother, which you would think would be you looking at, you got a grandma that may be in heels, ready to step out and party rather than take care of business at home. So go right ahead, Mac. I knew you had something to say.
No, I was just going to say that, Vic, it wasn't the preseason. He said he didn't go. He said he was talking about last year because he didn't
right.
have his money. He didn't go hard because he didn't want to get hurt. Now, I had nothing to do with preseason. He was saying, remember he was moaning and groaning the last couple of years about he wanted to get paid.
Right.
He was saying last year he wasn't going as hard as he could. He said because he was trying not to get injured. It had nothing to do with preseason because I knew when you said preseason, I was like, nah, it had nothing to do with preseason. It had to do with the whole year. He didn't want to get hurt because he wanted to get his money until he got his money. Now he's saying that now that I have this $51 million contract signed and I'm getting my money, now I'm giving him my all. You know,
Deshaun Jackson is, I would never want to play with him.
Right.
I would never want to take the field with a guy that has a mentality like that.
But
I agree.
But the sad part is, Vic, when you have management that will take talent over nonsense, this is what you get. I mean, let's be honest. If Chad Johnson was 25, 27 years old and had headbutted, you know, his girl in the head, he wouldn't have left Miami.
You're right. There's so much upside.
He could have headbutted that chick three times and they'd have been like, well, that's all right. Come on, man. What's in your anger management? Bring you back, man. I mean, you know, it's just like I said, it's a generation, man. It's a culture. But let's be honest. Teams, managers, general managers, you can get away with it if you're young, talented, and you can do it. I mean, let's look at T.O. T.O. did whatever the hell he wanted when he was young. But when he got old and washed up, he stood there crying on TV talking about, you know, these people don't understand me. And it's not like, dude, you burned bridges when you was young. And they put up with it because of your talent. When your talent ran dry, they threw you away like a dry piece of bread. They didn't want you. So he's willing to get one more year. So I would say to those who are like Deshaun Jackson, if I have athletes listening or anything like that, man, I'm going to give you a good example of somebody who will always bounce back and come on top and get the benefit of the doubt. And it's a kid like Kevin Durant, who's humble. I don't run my mouth. I ain't about me. Every time you talk to him, the dude gives credit to somebody else, his teammates, other people. He's learned the lesson early, man, being humble. I don't have to always be the center of attention. And the funny thing is, Kevin is doing the best he can just trying to get better. And the funny thing is, he's making it look easy. And it's not, and it is easy because everybody likes him, so everybody's willing to do for him. But this generation now, they'll look at Kevin Durant and say, oh, man, he's a nice guy. He's great. Look at what he got. But they'll go right out there and do the selfish stuff they do. You know, I'm gonna get on here and tell you right now. You know, I did a charity game this Sunday with Chris Brown and some NBA guys. And I had, you know, one particular guy who's an NBA guy who, you know, didn't want to come out the game. I'm talking about played the whole first quarter, all of the second, all but 3 minutes of the second, and the last 3 minutes, and I had the nerve to get mad at me because I pulled him out. And it's a young guy. And I'm looking at him like, really? First of all, it's a charity game. Second of all, you ain't selling no tickets, dude. Chris Brown's selling these tickets. This place is packed because of him. You know, like, chill. But this is the me generation, you know. And, I mean, he didn't want to come out and was fussing. And I was just like, really? Are you serious? Like, this ain't an audition to get in the NBA. This is a charity game. I tell you who it was. It was Josh Shelby. It was terrible.
I knew he was going to say that.
Terrible, man. I mean, I was just like, really? And I got a guy in Chris Brown who's a superstar who he knows all the girls. Man, this place is 90% women. Okay? 90, at least 80% to 70% women. Are you serious?
Really?
Because of Chris Brown. Chris Breezy.
Because of Chris Brown. Yes, I'm telling you. We're all, in fact, we're starting to sell the DVD today, but I'm telling you guys, You know, and good I'm plug, saying if this plug. Guy, but here's the thing. If he's willing, again, Vic knows this, I think he knows this, and I think Black saw it too. Y'all remember when I posted on Facebook about how I coached Kevin Durant in that playoff game? And I posted on there and said, he came to me and said, man, coach me, man. I ain't no prima donna. And I said, how can this guy who's a scoring leader, a superstar in the league, is willing to sit down and let me coach him and willing to do what I tell him to do? Ain't nobody from a can of paint. And yet other guys who are nobody don't want to sit down and don't want to give up that time. So I'm saying the same thing in this sense. I'm sitting here like, I pulled Chris Brown out. Chris Brown, I'm going over explaining to him, you know, saying, look, man, you know, I'm going to put you back in another call. Oh, man, don't even worry about it. We good. You the coach. Do what you do.
Wow.
You tell me, I'll go back in whenever you want to go back in. I'm good. This is an R&B superstar. This is a guy who sold all the tickets, knows it, knows they're there for him. Okay, it's obvious. When we came from the locker room, it was obvious they were there for him because, dang, we almost got hurt. So what I'm saying to you is I'm connecting it to this generation. This generation is the most selfish generation in my years of living. This is the worst as far as athletes, especially basketball players. This is what I deal with most selfish guys I've ever seen. I mean, it's just for every Shaq, for every Chris Brown, for every Gilbert Arenas, he was on my team there. He 6 minutes, 7 minutes to go in the fourth, he's like, man, do what you do. I'm good. I'm sitting here with my BlackBerry. I'm good. Let them dudes play. You know, I'm saying NBA guys are coming in. David Hawkins coming in and out of the game, man. You know, he comes out of the game and says, man, let Chris go on back in. I'm going to sit for a while. You know, I mean, I got mature guys that are coming in and out for other people so they can get a chance to play. They understand it's a charity game. This is not an audition to get in the NBA. So what I'm saying to you is it makes me sick to my stomach. You just see guys so selfish, man. Just so, you know, I've had guys, I said, look, well, man, you know, we want to, this year at the Goodman, I called guys up. Hey, look, Miles looking for players to play in this rivalry game against this other team from New York or whoever's coming. I got guys sitting on the phone asking me, is there free shoes involved? How much playing time am I getting? How many guys are there? I'm sitting there looking like, are you serious? Are you really serious? Like, don't you have, I mean, seriously, an athlete nowadays, just tell all y'all, they have no inner pride. None. We grew up with inner pride. I didn't want nobody to whoop us. I didn't like losses. I took them bad. And I went back and got better and came back at you or got a better group of guys and we came back. We would compete by block in my neighborhood. You know, our block would go against your block. I mean, we'd be out there scrapping. Sometimes we'd be out there fighting and scrapping because we're so mad because we didn't want to lose. So I'm saying these guys now, they lose games, they don't care. They'll jack up 5, 6, 7, 8 shots, miss every one, don't care. Guys whoop their tails. I mean, just like I said right now, guys who play basketball. I see too many guys. When is the last time, I'll ask this, Gary, Vic, Black. When the last time when y'all was growing up, did y'all ever let a guy just keep scoring on you and you just kept letting him score and all you did was you let a guy score on you and you turn around and just get the ball and go right back at it?
I kind of gave him a hard foul.
Thank you. That's my point. You wasn't going to just have it easy. If you got it, you was going to earn it. You just ain't going to have it. But players now, they don't care about winning that much. They don't care about winning or losing. They don't care if a guy scores 50 on them because then they'll say, yeah, you score 50, but I score 70. And I'm like, what is that? What? That's no fun. I like scoring 70 and you score 10.
Exactly.
I mean, it's just crazy, man. This generation, like y'all said, man, is just very, you know, just to button it up, man, they're just very selfish, man, self-centered. And, you know, this is what we deal with. And then people got the nerve to sit and talk about Tim Tebow. I'm like, Tim Tebow ain't even trying, to be honest. He ain't even trying to be famous. He just enjoying life. So, like I said, for every humble kid, humble person you get these people out here that's just selfish and terrible attitude. It's just terrible, man. Awful.
Yeah,
but I want to keep you guys here because, you know, the next thing I want to talk about is these Cardinals gym shoes that we have coming out. The next shoe that we're gonna act like the Planet of the Apes and it'll be us tearing down, you know, doors at the mall and jumping over each other's back and, you know, knocking the old people down to get these shoes. I mean, I don't know what to say, but I'll just open it up this way and I'll let you guys go. But all I can say is I would be damned if I ever buy my child, who is grown, I don't care if she's grown or not, a $315 shoe. There ain't no shoe on this planet worth $315. It just ain't. If it is, it need to be able to be filled with gas and drive me to work and get me to work. I need to fly to work. Exactly. It needs to cuddle up next to me and love me. It needs to keep me warm and it needs to do something more than just be on my feet. $315 is too much. And I put the fault, and I'm going to shut up after this, but I put the fault on us as consumers, and I can only speak to black folks, because that's who I know who buy them. I don't know about everybody else, but I know the white folks buy them too. But we go out and buy them and forego our bills and stuff and do all that crap and do whatever we want. We steal it, whatever we do. It's our fault. I think, and I said this on Facebook, and I don't know if you guys saw, but I said we should have stopped at $100. When it was $100, we should have stopped. And as long as we keep buying it, we keep going out and doing it, this is what we're going to get. And don't think that if we buy these, there will be a $500 shoe one day. There will be one. Trust me. And I just don't know when we're going to say no. So I'll let you guys, I'll open the floor to you guys, but I just think it's ridiculous. I think Nike ought to be ashamed themselves. But charging $315, I think LeBron should speak up and say something and say, you know what, I don't want my shoes $315.
LeBron is not going to say anything about that. He's so far in Nike's pockets that he probably doesn't even care. But Mike knows me personally. I'm a sneaker freak, but there's no way in the hell that I'm going to pay $315 for any type of shoe. Unless I'm levitating, unless it could take me overseas and bring me back. I'm not paying $315 for any type of shoe at all. That's ridiculous.
I gotta be the new Man of Steel with them joints. I gotta be flying to the moon and back with a bump that Black Man of Steel.
See the problem is that that they put that price out there because they know that people will pay that price, and
yep.
And just like you had alluded to, Mac, unfortunately, for some reason, we will pay that price to get a shoe from an athlete that and a company that is going to reap the benefits of someone that really can't afford the shoe in the first place, but it's a need to have, and this generation, along with the parents of this generation, wanting to.
Mm-hmm.
Please, their child will buy that shoe, and the problem is this: that child will get that shoe, and because they have no regard for something that's special, they'll wear that shoe as an everyday shoe, playing basketball that shoe, and wear that shoe out in probably less than a month. Because the fact is, they have no regard of what things cost. Because they're always satisfied by their mother or their father or their grandmother giving them what they want when they want it.
Yeah. I agree absolutely.
I'll say this. I agree with everything everybody's saying. I'm giving away tickets to the Raiders. I hope we've given out the trivia question. If not, let's get to that, too. But
I did that.
Okay. But here's what I'm going to say. I don't know if y'all can remember back when we were, like, in our teens and whatnot. I personally, I don't buy any shoes for anybody in my family that's over $65, $75, $70. Back
that's
in the
true.
Day, as a teen, my favorite shoe, and to this day, if I could find some, I'd buy them, was the Reebok Classic. $55. $55, and the all-white ones, not the black ones, but I can rock the black, too. All-white ones. They're comfortable. They look good, and they get me where I need to be. $300-and-something, again, like you guys said, it needs to do more than just make me look good when I'm walking down the street. But I commend a person like Chris Webber, Shaquille O'Neal, even Stephon Marbury, who did what? They left Nike, they left all their big-time promoters or whatever, and went to Converse, went to AN1, went to all these, so they can make affordable shoes for the kids. Might not be the best quality in the world, but they went to Converse and places like that where they didn't charge you $100, $200, $300 for a pair of shoes.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron James, you know what? This is Jordan. This is when you know you come to Jordan level. And I'm talking about Kobe, LeBron, and all these other cats. When you don't mind having a kid whose mom is probably on welfare or who is hustling, go out there and purchase a pair of your tennis shoes so you can get a piece of the profit that Nike gets the majority of. $300, way too much money. Now, I'm not just saying just kids on welfare, their parents on welfare, but you're, like you said, you won't see a lot of different ethnic backgrounds purchasing these shoes. And if they purchase them, some of them, like Jerry said, are going to wear them everywhere and run them down. They're not special. They're not special. They're just tennis shoes. And then you're going to have some fool trying to steal them or kill somebody just for them. Triple Fat Goose back in the day. Jordan,
I mean,
look at
what they did. Look at what they did when they re-released the Jordan.
Yeah.
Those were retro ones. I mean, look how these people acted. I mean, I'm sitting there. I don't know if Black remembers it, but I posted the video and I said, look, I just saw the trailer for Planet of the Apes 2. They're out there tearing the doors off the mall, just coming in the door, stepping on people. I'm like, really? I mean, you're right. I mean, I think it's terrible, man. I just think, like I said, I blame me, myself. I lay the blame at Nike, and I blame us as consumers that we keep doing it, we keep buying it. And the third thing I get mad at is that, you know, a guy like LeBron James, I'm not saying he probably won't, but he should say, hey, look, man, that's a little excessive. I mean, I'm sorry. If I'm a kid from Cleveland and I know what I grew up growing up in, I'm going to say something. I'm gonna say, look, man, 315 is you know, I mean, and to be honest with you, sometimes some of these basketball players, I don't know if that's true, but I thought I remember basketball players who had the regular ones, but then they had a lower price shoe that was a different brand. It was like inferior, but you could have it and you could, you know, do it. But maybe I got that wrong. But I just think there needs to be something where, I mean, so at what point do we as consumers, especially as Black folks, African Americans, say, you know what, that's enough. We're not going to buy those shoes. Because that's what will change Nike's mind and say, we can't do that. Because if anybody knows, I guess Vic probably knows more than anybody out of the crew, they're getting this crap made overseas for nothing.
Right.
Nothing. And they're coming over
dude.
Here and just jacking it up and just, I mean, that's highway robbery. I'm a free, and don't get me wrong, because all you guys know me, I'm a free market guy. I'm into the free market, charge what you want. If you can get it, get it. I'm good. But when you're talking about something as urban as a tennis shoe, with the history that tennis shoes have had in this country, and they've gotten better, well-developed, enough, you know, me and Jerry can remember when Nike was just doing waffle running shoes. I remember.
Okay?
They wasn't always doing this. And to come from where they came from in Beaverton, Oregon, and now you're charging $315 for a shoe, and then to sit and release a statement talking about, yeah, well, you know, in the effort of safety, we want you to. Well, who are you to tell somebody on safety? Y'all didn't come out and say that when the people were tearing down the malls and knocking each other down and acting a fool over some retro shoes. I like Nike. Don't get me. I grew up wearing Nike. But I'm starting to lose a distaste for Nike, even though they're one of our sponsors here at the Goodman. From a consumer standpoint, I look at them and go, man, come on, really? Do we really need this in this kind of environment, a $315 shoe? Do you understand what happens when a kid wears it? Think about it. We're going to hear about it. $315. Some kid's going to have a $315 shoe and go to school, be on a subway station, go somewhere, and somebody's going to take them shoes from that kid, kill them, stick them up, or do something. And then we're all going to sit here and say, that's a shame. But nobody writes Nike. We don't get together as a group. African Americans say, you know what? we ain't go. We gonna boycott. Ain't gonna buy it. But I've always said this. We're the worst boycotters ever. Ever. We don't care.
This really makes me appreciate a guy like Kevin Durant who saw all this going on and decided to keep his shoe under $100 because he knew what he had growing up. He had 3-4 pairs of shoes. He told that whole story. So when Nike approached him about a line, he said, look, keep it under $100. I want these affordable. That's why I really appreciate a guy like KD. I don't see LeBron stepping up and saying a word about this at all.
And that's why I said it, and that's why I put laid some of the blame, not all of it, on him. Because I'm like, as a black athlete growing up in Cleveland, me and my wife have a house in Cuyahoga Falls, which is right there in the Cleveland area.
With a single parent,
and stuff like that. So for me, I'm sitting here saying, how can you come from? That's like me coming from the west side of Detroit, from where I come from, growing up like me, and having a $300 shoe. I'd be like, man, are you serious?
Right.
Like, how much money do I really need, though? You know what I'm saying?
Well,
I mean, between my contract and my endorsements, how much money do I really need to be killing kids?
And you know what Nike tried to come out and say, right?
Yeah, I heard.
They said, well, it's really not going to be $315, but it'll be actually about $290.
But it
so
doesn't
what?
Matter.
What's the difference?
Because you talking about tax?
Once
you talking about
taxes?
Yep. You know what I would have said to Nike? I would have said, excuse me, do you realize that there are people in this country that pay $250 for a car payment? Really? Are you serious?
Well,
I can
you know
take
what?
That too. That's crazy.
Matt,
that's crazy.
I'll do it like this. I'll take it to this level. You mentioned KD stepping up black and saying, you know, keep it affordable. I think that's a socially conscious move. Now, when you have athletes out there that aren't socially conscious and all they care about right now is the here and now, they don't think about the young kid that's coming to their camp, rocking their tennis shoes, paying $40, $50 or $300 to come to their camp so they can hopefully, you know, play with you or learn from you. They're thinking about, okay, well, you know what, I'm doing something for the community. But socially consciously speaking, free enterprise says, as you said, get what you can for what you put out there, but how am I going to be looked at in the public? You know,
I don't see how these guys forget where they came from. All these guys weren't born with silver spoons in their mouth. I don't see how they can forget where they came from to where the point where they would let their shoe prices get out of control like this.
But you know what it is? Again, let's tie it back to what we're talking about. But we're also talking about a generation. Again, the same me, I, it's about me, selfish generation is the same one that if you're not, see, here's the thing. If you're not taught this at home, if it's not drilled in you, driven in you, pushed in you, shoved in you, smacked in you, get your ass whooped in you, whatever, if you ain't getting it at home, and you ain't getting it from a mentor or from somebody you look up to or what have you, you know, it's you ain't gonna get it because telling you. But see, this is the same guy, LeBron James, who would sit on a commercial and read a teleprompter on Martin Luther King and say, "We should all honor the memory of Dr. Martin Luther King." If you have a $350, $15 shoe that you know most of the kids in Cleveland area, in the area where you grew up, and knowing how you grew up, you ain't had no money for no shoes like that. So why would you attach your name to something that you know another kid can't? But again, if you're not made conscious of other people, if you're not taught that at home, you're not going to get it. You're just not going to get it. And he's not that. And like I said, I'm going to be honest with you. And Jerry knows, Vic knows, and Black knows. Y'all know I'm hard on LeBron James. He ain't my favorite person. I respect him as a basketball player, but I have my opinions and my things about him. But let me tell you, had he said something, even if it didn't change it, even if he stepped up and said, look, man, I don't want the shoes to be $315, you know, can we do something where this can be less and affordable to the kids in the neighborhood or whatever, you know what, it would have done. I would have had a lot of respect for him for that. But, you know, being that, I just was like, I didn't want to be not fair and say, I don't want to lay it all the blame at his feet, not even most of it. But I'm saying, as the star athlete, as the guy who has control, you have control to go out there and say something. Your voice has power. Come on, man, you can't sit and tell me that. you know, I thought it was a lot when, I mean, and y'all know I was there when Shaq did the commercial for Nike. And the shoes were $250 with the thing in the bottom of it. I mean, he used the shoe. I was there on the shoe when he was using it. That's great technology. Awesome. But the shoe ain't worth $215, and I know that's not what it costs you. It don't even cost close to that. When you look at the price of shoes and what they are over in Korea, man, or wherever they making these crafts at, man, come on, man. Are you serious? Can you make a fair profit? I mean, I understand making a fair profit, okay? But that's just too much, man. I mean, women's shoes cost a lot, and I think that's ridiculous. But women choose to do that. That's fine. But women make money, and they're not living in poverty and killing each other and shooting each other. But when you talking about tennis shoes, man, that's crazy, man. You can't.
Well, Mac, we got another caller. I think I know who this is, but let's bring this caller in.
All right.
Caller from the 240, welcome to the No Chaser Show with Mac and Jerry and Black and Vic. State your
What's
name
up,
and tell
man?
Us what you
got to
say. I knew it
What's
was
up?
Mikal.
This is Mikal. I'm trying to see what kind of fragonagle nonsense that my wonderful cousin is talking. And, of course, you know, I just be hanging in the cut waiting on Mac. Got to come through like a sniper and get him.
How you going to attack me? How you going to attack me, man?
The number one Obama supporter. That's all I say.
Unlike Mitt Romney, I can defend Obama. Yeah, that's what I can do.
Mikal, we were talking about the high price of Mr. LeBron James' new sneaker. You would care to weigh in on the $315 sneaker?
I honestly. From a social standpoint, I think it's ridiculous. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't buy those shoes myself or my children, and I really wouldn't recommend anyone else to buy them as well.
But
I'm a businessman too. You know, so I understand business. Those $315 shoes by a global icon such as LeBron James. Hell yeah, go ahead and do it. Put it out there. You know, I don't think that it's right, like I said, socially, because, you know, it's a lot of kids out here that can't afford them joints, and you know what they're going to do to go get them. I don't like that part. You know what I'm saying? I truthfully hate that part. But, like I said again, as a businessman, you know, you want to put it out there. You want to get as much as you can get. You know, and you can market it and, you know, trump it up. And Nike's been doing this forever. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I don't really attack him as much as I attack, you know, Nike. And then, you know, everybody just keep following and doing this kind of nonsense. You know?
But that's why I said I agree with what you said as far as the business aspect, because I'm a firm believer in it's just like when people get mad because they say, you know, like Alex Rodriguez shouldn't be making $250 million. And I say, well, if that's what the market bears, that's what the market bears. If you can get it, get it. But I guess the difference is that when you're buying, but see, that's his salary. That's nobody's buying that. People are paying that by coming to getting a fair exchange for a fair dollar amount. But
right.
I guess what I'm saying, I agree with you in that Nike is taking a shot, and they're getting it. If you can get it, get it. But here's one thing I live by with business. I live by and this is my principle, and the reason why I've done okay in business and I've been able to sleep at night is because I've always figured out if I'm selling something wholesale, I try to at least make a fair profit. What I call a fair profit is if I have a product that's $100. I'll try to make another $100 on top of the $100 on top of what it cost me. Okay, at least get back that. I don't go over that. Why? Because I try to always keep myself affordable or what have you. Unless the market dictates something that, okay, I can ask for that and that's okay. And it doesn't involve kids killing each other and it's hurting somebody. So I guess what I'm saying is I agree with what you're saying. But I also agree in that Nike should. If you want to make a killer profit, great. But to me, 315 is not killer. That it borders on greed. I'm not with greed. I'm with fair. If you gonna make a fair profit?
These are the times that we're living in. You know what I'm saying?
I agree.
It's like you're either greedy or you wanting for something. Either or. It's no in between no more. You know what I mean? I mean, because if you look at how they trade stocks and whatnot, they trade stocks at 20, 40 times the value of stocks and whatnot now.
Right.
I mean, it's just like crazy. So
yeah.
I mean, hold on. And then you go back and look at the knuckleheads that really tried, a knucklehead dude that really tried to put out something socially conscious. We ain't even supported. You know what I'm saying? Stephon Marbury come out with them $15 shoes, and everybody was looking at it like $15, really? And then a lot of these youngins that's buying these shoes, they don't that spend their money that way. They don't really have an understanding of the market. You know what I'm saying? Oh, a market dictates what will be paid for a product. Meaning, if I put out something out there, it's not for me to set the price. Only the people that's going to buy it can set the price. I could put up, you know, a little price where I done, you know, gauged it and said, okay, these shoes went for this, shoes went for that, so I can price it at this amount. But Nike done took this thing to a whole nother level. But they've always done that. They've always done that. I don't expect anything else from them.
That's true. And that's why I said in the beginning when I first said it, I said, we should have stopped this at $100. That was what I said. I said I thought we should have stopped that at $100. Because I didn't realize until late, like now, I didn't realize until now that I was like, man, you know what, I forgot. If you keep buying something, they're going to keep inching it up and up and up and up. As long as they keep getting it from you, they're going to keep doing it until you say
right.
no, until you draw a line in the sand and say no. So all I'm saying, what I will say is this. Everything you're saying about business, the examples you use about stock and all that stuff, there's one difference that makes all of this, that makes the shoe thing different, is that people get killed, they get stolen, and they get taken, and people get injured over it. And it lacks. And then the last thing I'll say about it is this.
Huh?
Hold on.
You don't think people getting killed and their livelihoods getting ruined because somebody trade these stocks at 20 and 30 times? Let me
ask you a question. When is the last time you've seen our people who are poor and indigent run through and knock doors off hinges at the stock exchange to get in? When is the last time you've seen somebody say, hey man, give me your stocks and I'm gonna shoot you?
No, they don't operate that way. They operate differently. You have people like Bernie Madoff just taking people's whole retirement pension funds and ruining people's lives.
And guess what? You know why that happened? Because of the same thing I'm getting ready to tell you. Because they ain't taught nothing, they ain't doing no research. Because if you research people and go investigate and stuff like that, and you go find that stuff out, people get hoodwinked because that whole thing happened because if you my man and we cool and you just trusted me, I come out and tell you, hey, man, this guy over here is a great guy. But if you really just trusted my word on it because I'm another millionaire just like you, you go over there and do it. But you don't do your due diligence.
I feel you on that, but they still haven't found all Bernie Madoff's money, so they still haven't
Matt, we got less than a minute and a half.
Okay. Well, here's what I say in closing. I want to thank everybody who came on the show because y'all made it really good, and I need my man to slide through more often because I love the joust, man. And he's one of the number one jousts. I love that dude, man, because he gives me a joust. He one of them dudes that give me one of them hard left crosses, and I get a little dizzy, but I can recover. But I give him a few too. But I love him because he comes strong. That's one thing about him. He don't let you come at him just weak. But what I will say is I just want to thank all y'all for coming in. But, you know, last word I'm going to have on this before we close out, and this is one thing I just really want to say. The number one thing is that we don't teach our young black kids, girls, boys, we don't teach them about things like what he said about stock, bonds, what that shoe cost. We also have gotten away from work ethic. We don't teach our kids. If I wanted a pair of shoes, my mama made me work for them. There were things I had to do. I had to kill myself to get those, to get that stuff, which then made me appreciate when I had it.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
And I didn't. And give, let me tell you, after all the work I did for them, got dang on shoes. You can damn sure best believe, Black, Big, Gary, oh man, y'all already know. When I got them shoes, I didn't wear them shoes outside. Screw that. We go to the gym, I'm carrying these on, I'm wearing my outside shoes in. You know why? Because I knew if my mother got me them shoes, he ain't getting another one, Nick, for a while. You ain't getting them. So you go tear them up, wear them every day. Guess what my mama say? I don't know what you're going to do, but don't wear those.
Right.
It's just one of those things, we're not taught that anymore, and I think this is all starts at the home. All of this, the root of it, is in our home. And us as black parents need to start teaching our kids the ways of the world. A lot more than just dancing in award shows and let's be famous and what's your talent so we can take it and exploit it. We need to start learning how the stock market works, how wholesale and wholesale retail works. You need to be taught to earn things. And we're just not taught that anymore. This generation has lost that, and it's parents' fault. We're not teaching them at home. So with that, you know, that's how I step out, and I just want to thank Aaron, all of y'all, man, for really coming, man. I really do. And I hope we get to do this again. We'll get to do this again next weekend. Y'all can come anytime. Y'all invited. Anytime.
Oh, with that being said, tune in next week, same time, same place, 7 p.m., Mac and Jerry, show with No Chaser, Saturday, tomorrow. Be the FSP show with Vic Gardner and I host that also. We'll be trying to give these tickets away. Same trivia question, 3 days and 3 nights in a row. No one has answered it or called in for it yet. Free tickets. I mean, you can't get a better four-letter word than free.
The trivia question is, how many jobs has Obama created?
Here we go. That's a whole other show.
How many positions? Hey, look. Wait a minute.
That's a whole other show.
That's a whole other show.
Romney destroyed.
1 p.m. FSP is Saturday. We'll probably be in the middle of a draft, Vic and I. Tomorrow. And then following on Sunday will be the 10 a.m. It'll be the No Chasers show. I'll be co-hosting that. Whoever calls in. We'll be talking from now until the end of the season about fantasy football. So whatever
that's,
the subject
that's
is, gonna it's going to be.
That's going to be the good show. The show on Saturday is only halfway decent.
You know what, cuz? That's what I'm like a true donkey. Oh, now see? Mark, you can't let that conservative rip our party apart. You're helping them. You're being Joe Biden. Let me be Barack, okay? Just shut your mouth. Do my thing.
If you Barack, we
anyway.
If you are Barack, we are in trouble. Oh, my God.
It's been real. Just like Mac, I want to appreciate you guys calling in. Tune in to various shows Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Macau show, Grown Soul and Real Talk, and then Thursday back again with the FSP Crew show. All those shows, you jump on, you can get some good information and good conversation. With that being said, from Mac and Jerry, this has been the No Chaser, and we're out.